Hello and welcome to Mega City Book Club, the podcast all about the galaxy's greatest comics, mainly the British ones. I'm Eamon Clark, and my guest for this special episode, as a bonus, she is the powerhouse organiser behind the best comics convention, certainly in England, I'm going to say. It's a big, warm book club welcome to Sue Hadrill. Sue, welcome to the book club.
Hi, thank you ever so much for having me. It's good to speak to you.
No trouble at all. I'm treading slightly lightly because Paul Trimble from the Enniskillen Comic Con has also been on the book club and is a friend of mine as well.
Oh, I love Paul. Yeah. No, he does an amazing show as well. He's sort of our counterpart, the other side.
Exactly. I think of Enniskillen and Lawless as being very similar.
Yeah.
Before we get to Lawless, and particularly Lawless at 10 years, it's your first appearance. So I ask all my guests their comic book origin story. What were your own first comics? And then take us on to some of your favourites.
So my growing up comics were Beano and Bunty, primarily. They were my car journey comics. My family used to do a lot of camping trips and long car journeys and stuff like that. So I had the big Beano hardback annuals that we used to just sit and read on long car journeys, or we'd stop off at some services somewhere and Mum would get me and my sister a copy of Bunty or something like that each. So yeah, that was definitely my growing up with comics, was the proper old girls comics and stuff like that, and the Beano. And then in my teens, I got into Tank Girl. I found Tank Girl graphic novels at Lancing Library and discovered that the guys that wrote it and created it were Worthing based, which is literally the next town along from me. I was in Sompting. So I just clicked into that, and it was tanks and it was explosions and gunfights and stupidity. And it was slightly out of my league. I remember just feeling it was slightly too old for me at the time, but I just really liked it, and it was fun. But those were my big primary ones, was the Beano and the Bunty, and then later on was Tank Girl.
There's always a great thrill when the comic feels slightly beyond this, or slightly forbidden in a way.
Yes, yeah. There was definitely boobs and things that they shouldn't, and music that I'd never heard of, and bands that were too cool for me, and things like that mentioned in there.
And what about Dread? Was there some Dread at some point, or 2000 AD?
There really wasn't at all. So I didn't get into Dread or 2000 AD completely. Again, it was that feeling of it was a little bit beyond me. I was a book reader. I was very, very much a bookworm. And I read and read and read and read. I would spend hours in the library just sitting in the corner reading books. And I never really got majorly into comics. And 2000 AD was always just that little bit out of my league. Like it was complicated and scary. And I'd rather be set reading a book kind of thing. I didn't get into Dread until I started doing conventions, and I was doing the Sci-Fi Weekender, and we were doing LFCC and MCM at Birmingham and things like that. And there was a group of us online. It was back in sort of 2009, 2010, that age where the internet was just really cool and everyone was finding each other, and everyone was finding each other's geekdoms and nerddoms and all their commonalities between the different genres that they liked and stuff like that. And we were meeting up at these events that had come over from San Diego Comic Con and suddenly hip-hop popularity, and it was moving over into the UK. So groups of us used to meet up at the Sci-Fi Weekender, and we got into doing cosplays and all the rest of that. And I met a bunch of guys who dressed up as judges, because the 2012 Dread film came out with Carl Urban, and we all met up at MCM in London, and Carl Urban did his big they did a whole Dread announcement with the first 10 minutes of short clip of the film and things like that, and it was awesome. It was just really good to be involved with. It was new to me, and I just sort of happened to be in the right time at the right place for just getting involved in that side of things. But we ended up sort of hanging out and meeting a whole bunch of guys who dressed as judges and stuff like that, but off the back of that, that's kind of how Lawless came about, really. It was just community and just getting to know people who are into the same genres and stuff like that. But to be fair, my Dread knowledge is still horrendous to this day.
That's all right. There's no tests on this podcast. As we speak, it's May the 5th.
And, it is.
If people like me, probably yourself as well, are getting lots of Facebook memories popping up, because it was May the 5th, 2014.
It was in a
rock nightclub in Birmingham, wasn't it? The one with the sticky floor.
It really was, yeah. So I knew Colin, who ran Eddie's up in Birmingham. Right. And there'd been a group of us that had started doing kind of geek meets and games days and stuff like that as a because we'd like the convention. So we were doing it on a smaller scale to get people together from different areas to do kind of geek meets. And we'd had the opportunity to use Eddie's a couple of times for stuff like that. And it'd been quite successful. And these guys that I knew that dressed up as judges were like, you need to do a 2000 AD day. And I'm like, yeah, I can do that. Let's do that. And that was literally the start of it. So Colin, rented us the club for the week, for the day. And then the good old Mr. John Burdis himself, I think, put me in touch with a few people, John Wagner and David Roach and a couple of others. And that's how it started, is just reaching out and making contact, saying, we're doing a day. Do you want involved? And they went, yeah. And of course, again, because the film had only come out a couple of years beforehand, it was still very much up in popularity. So we got everybody along and I think there was only about 60 people and there was only about 4 guests on the first day and about 5 traders. And it was a tiny little show, but it was, for us, it was huge. And we put food on for the day. We did the tombola. We had some panels and talking and we had the traders there. I think we even did some miniature gaming and stuff like that. And everyone cosplayed up, all the judges rocked up and everything. It was a fantastic day. Really, really good.
I remember the Planet Replicas were there with a costume, yes. You know, a judge's outfit that you could try on. There's a picture of me somewhere in that judge's outfit. I think everybody who was there got one of those.
There's me with a very oversized helmet on my head, yeah, with a massive grin on my face somewhere along the line.
And of course, John Wagner and David Roach, you've had a sort of, they've continued to be part of Lawless over the 10 years. They've been regulars in a way, haven't they?
Yeah. Yeah, no, they've been, John's one of our, both of them are our biggest supporters. Nick Percival as well, you know, on and off, he comes to the show when he can make it and things like that. I think we all always have those kind of, those core guys come into the show because they're massive supporters. So we do try and swap people in and out and try and get some new names in, but it's really tough because everybody wants to come back every year and we get quite limited on numbers. So you do have to try and, balance it out quite well.
So let's mention then, it's 10 years.
Yes.
Saturday the 25th and Sunday the 26th of May of this year.
Yeah.
At the Doubletree Hilton on Redcliffe Way in Bristol. Mm-hmm. Doors open at 10 o'clock each day, I think. Tell us.
So doors open around about 9, 9:30. Oh, right. We're usually beholden to when all the guests rock up. First panel is usually at 10:30, okay. I think. It's a little bit vague, but more just waiting on other people.
Well, we've mentioned obviously John Wagner and David Roach as sort of regulars, Nick Percival and so on. Who else have you got this year? Because you've got, for the 10th, you've got a stunning lineup of guests, haven't you?
It's mental, isn't it? I can't believe we've done it. So we've got John Higgins and Glenn Fabry, Dan Cornwall again, and Karen Holloway. Again, all as our kind of regulars. They come back every year to come and say hi to us. And Sally Jane Hurst as well, obviously. Got some new names. Mike Perkins and Keith Burns haven't been to the show before. Pete Doherty is coming back, and I don't think he's actually been to the show since the first two, so it's been a while since he's come along, but it's going to be really good to see him again. Connor Boyle and Simon Fraser, I don't think have been to the show before. Liam Sharp and Matilda McCormick Sharp, both are obviously new to the show and are new to the UK show season, I think, as well. So I'm really, really pleased to see them. And we got some big names. We've got John McRae, Greg Staples, Garth Ennis. Really, really pleased to see those guys as well. It's going to be awesome.
And I gather Garth Ennis just contacted you.
So we'd been in touch on and off over the last year. So we had each other's messages and emails and stuff like that. So we'd been in touch and just schedules clashed and stuff with him. And I'd chatted to him late last year and he was a no-go. Just, you know, I'm in the UK I think he was in Ireland and he was visiting family. So he just couldn't fit us in. And I was like, yeah, no problem, fine. You know, it's like that with a lot of the guests. It's just trying to fit around schedules and what they're up to. So it was a no-go back then. And then he messaged a couple of weeks back just to say, I've just discovered I'm going to be in the UK. I'm going to be around about that time. Is there space to fit me in? And I was like, yes, yes, there is. I think we can get you. So that was awesome. Yeah, really, really pleased that he got in touch.
And Brian Bolland's coming back for his second go at the convention as well, which is obviously huge.
Yeah, really, really pleased to get Brian back again as well, because he's not known for doing much of the conventions these days. And and when we first got him, it was a pleasure to have him around, and for him as well, I think, because he's obviously used to the much bigger convention scene where it's just a big hall of lots and lots of people and tables, and it's quite crowded and busy. And this is a lot more close knit, so he got to see a lot of his friends that he hadn't seen for quite some time, and spend time having a pint with a few people at the bar afterwards. And I think he really enjoyed that. And it's really good to have him come. I'm really pleased he decided to come back and say hello to us again.
And we perhaps should just mention that for people who haven't been, that it's a hotel convention.
Yes.
Describe the setup for us a little bit so people know what they could expect.
Yeah, so it is a small convention in terms of its small location. So we know the hotel very well, and we rent out their conference rooms for the weekend, and they're all kind of bunched together in one particular area of the hotel, which makes it quite a nice setup. So we'll have one room that's set up as the stage room for all the panels and interviews and everything. We open another two of the rooms out together, so that's your big hall with all your creators and everything. But again, it's not school sports hall sized. It's big enough to get around quite easily to see everybody. We have a traders room, so we get everybody doing, we'll try and get some small press in, or people, if anyone's got any crafts or arts or anything like that at all, we love to get traders in and see what they've got. And then one of the things we started doing the last few years is having the exhibition room. So after 2019 tribute to Carlos Esguerra, we did a really good exhibition for him. And it seemed a good use of the space. So we're doing it again this year with David Roach's Best of British, which I'm really looking forward to, because it's a kind of one-off. Like, it's him collating his collection and bringing it all for us to display as a kind of one-off to show a great history of British art, which is going to be amazing to see.
Well, if there's somebody who knows about British comic book art, yeah, and also has got a great collection of it, it's David Roach, isn't it? It's a fantastic setup. I mean, what I would say about it, particularly for people who haven't been before, it's not the sort of convention where you're going to be overwhelmed by crowds of people. It's incredibly successful, but after the initial rush in the morning, you can get to meet all of these creators, can't you? As things sort of calm down as the day goes on, and you get this wonderful opportunity to talk to these great creators.
Yeah, it's a really lovely pace, actually. It's one of those places that feels crowded but not heaving. So it feels, you've got that really nice atmosphere of lots of people and lots of enthusiasm, lots of people hanging out together, but you don't feel like you're waiting in queues for 4 hours just to see one guy, and you're not tripping over everybody else in front of you, or sneezing into the neck of the person in front of you. There's not that kind of a real heaving atmosphere about it. And there's that chaos. There's always that chaos of the first couple of hours as we get everybody past the desk and get everyone's tickets sorted and that. And then, it's a really chill weekend. Everyone just sort of moves around from place to place, and you get the ebb and flow of people coming out of panels and going into signings. But, there's always a chance to meet every we've got 30-odd guests, and you get to meet every single one of them. Yeah. There's no one that you can get away with, that you're going to miss.
And also, you've got the bar at the hotel. So if things get a little bit overwhelming, you can always duck out into the bar and get something to eat and drink, and you can chat to other people, or you can be by yourself. I say that because I know some people can find the convention experience a bit overwhelming,
absolutely,
but not lawless. It just seems to me that, as you say, it's so chill and so relaxed, and it's so wonderful to meet these great creators up close and get to chat with them and see their work.
Yeah. And we still have a really great cosplay scene as well. So everyone goes out, and there's the opportunity to go out onto the balcony or out front, and they'll do whole photo shoots, just being silly and daft with each other, because it's an excuse for them to, a lot of them are online friends that come from far and wide to see each other for that time. That's the first time that year they've met up together. So a lot of people will duck out to go for lunch for an hour or so, and then come back for the afternoon session, or just meet up at the bar at the end of the day.
Yeah, the bar con is always great fun. Brian Bolland will wander into the bar at some point, which is amazing.
I heard that he was really shy, I think, when he first turned up. And then last time, I remember seeing it about 6-7 o'clock or something like that, and he was sat at a table having a pint with about four guys with a massive smile on his face. And I think it was as much of a relief for him as it was an absolute privilege for them. It was that real kind of benefit for both of them that neither of them expected. It was brilliant to see.
And as well as the panels, as well as the art exhibition, as well as sort of, you know, up close time to spend with these great creators, this year you're trying, or you've got something new. You've got the Black Tie VIP event.
Yeah, we're not doing this again, I'll tell you. It's been fun. It's going to be, because it's our 10-year anniversary, and we do BarCon. Obviously, everyone's ends up at the bar for the evening, but it's something I really wanted to make a point of celebrating. It's important to me that the event never becomes cliquey. It's always been a big community event, but we did want to do something special for the select few. If you wanted to do a VIP, get them all in, and we'll do a proper table thing where, white tablecloths over long tables, sat with a creator. We'll get the stage set up and do some interviews. I think I'm going upstage and being interviewed to tell stories about Lawless in its past. We've got an award ceremony, so we're giving out some Lawless 3D printed Lawless awards that have been created especially for the show to all our best creators and best cosplayers and things like that. So that's going to be good. And then Sally Jane Hurst is very kindly putting on some live music for us as well and doing some singing for us for the evening, so we can all have a bit of a mingle and a glass of wine and some nibbles and have a chat together as well before everyone disappears off to the bar late in the evening and goes their separate ways. But yeah, I just wanted to make sure we made a bit of a party of it as well. It's not very often I get to let my hair down. Normally, I'm just working solidly for 48 hours. So this is an excuse for us all to get a bit dressed up and congratulate each other, I think, on 10 years of damn hard work.
Well, it is hard work. And I see you and the other people running around a lot, sorting things out, managing the guests and so on. Is there anybody else, in the team that you'd like to mention at this time?
Yeah, we've got a whole gang that are absolutely stunning. To be fair, I couldn't run the show without them. I freely admit to being sort of a bit of a dictator about the whole thing and bossing everybody around quite considerably because I don't lose control very easily. But kudos to my other half Andy, who just keeps me sane and supplied with tea, and he did some amazing 3D printed Lawless awards for us this year, so that's been awesome to see. Bav is our sound engineer and kind of my 2IC. So he does a little bit of conventioning as well later on in the year for a different convention also at Bristol. So we kind of knock ideas off each other and steal each other's ideas and help each other out quite a bit. But he's got a team as well working, and they do all our sound and staging all weekend. So he's got 4 or 5 people that help him doing all our sounding, staging and everything and sorting all tech stuff out. Shout out to Ben Cullis and Steve Bull and the crew from 77, obviously our sponsors for the show, but also they help with organizing the panels, designing the program, promoting the show and providing ideas. And it's really good to get excited with them. The 77 team, they're hugely supportive, and they do a lot of the background logos and artwork. Whenever I start pulling my hair out of merchandising issues, half a dozen of them will get messages going, "Help, I need a thing like yesterday because this design person's asking me for this and I want to print stickers for tomorrow." So yeah, they've been amazing. Dave Shires does a fantastic job of our promotional graphics each year. So the headers that you see on Facebook and Twitter and all the guest lists and all that side of things all done by Dave Shires. He does a different design every year. He's absolutely stunning. And again, yeah, I'll drop him messages at the last minute and he sorts it out. He's so helpful. Shout out to who else we got, our panel moderators and our interviewers. So we got Stacey Dupin Whittle, Iz McAuliffe, Simon Belmont, John Burdis, Steve Hargett, and Leonard Sultana, who all help with moderating our panels. And lastly, I do need to give out a shout out to the Lawless Dirty Weekend group chat, who just the diehards who've been coming since day one, who've been volunteering their time and their energy. They mod the Facebook group. They run the tombola on the weekend. They help the creators by watching desks. They do some of the queue wrangling. And generally, they say how high whenever I say jump. And just the show could not run without them because they're such an amazing group of guys, guys and girls, to be fair. They're amazing. So, yeah, shout out to that lot.
Fantastic stuff. Yeah, I mean, you've got a great team. It's an absolutely fantastic convention. I'm trying to think. I suspect I must have been to just about all of them, I think, Sue. They've all been wonderful. Last year, fantastic. We mentioned guests. I'm just going to shout out, because also Mike Dory has recently started doing the odd convention. He was at Enniskillen, and he's been with you a couple of times now, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. Yeah, him and his wife both come along to the show. And again, I think it's just an excuse to say hello to everybody there. But some of the stuff that he brings that he shows is brilliant to see.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's good to get some of the with some of the legends along with some, as well as some of the new blood, as it were.
Yeah, absolute legends. Wonderful stuff. And you always have a Doctor Who panel with Ben Wilshire and Mike Collins, and Stacey usually moderates yes. that one, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Fantastic stuff. And Stacey and John Burdis, Simon Belmont have all been on the podcast. They're all regulars here as well. So
excellent. Yeah.
One other thing that happens that I know about is, of course, is the tombola, which is there, yeah. which sort of leads us into talking about the charitable association of the convention, yeah. because you also raise a lot of money for good causes over the years.
Yeah, it's something we started doing, actually, just as the show got bigger. It was something we found that we were able to start doing. So we do, this year we're doing two, we're doing an auction. So some years we'll do a draw off or a raffle or something like that. So people can buy tickets whilst out, you know, on the stage. Every year we'll do a tombola. Last few years we've tried to do kind of men's mental health charities or things like that, because obviously the audience that we have, it's one of those things that crops up. So we do try and support. And this year we wanted to go climate themed. We wanted to, yeah, Lawless Saves the World or something along those lines. And, you know, how can we personally help with climate change somewhere along, make a difference somewhere along the line. So yeah, the tombola this year is supporting Rewriting Earth, which is Paul Goodenough's project, charity. And I know that the funds there will get really, really well used. So we're doing an original art auction is going to be one of the panels on Saturday afternoon. So we'll be giving away original art there, including a scrapbook that John Higgins has produced of some of his work for the last God knows how many years that he's just pulled together from his studio and put together in a scrapbook for us. So we're going to be auctioning off that on the day. And then the tombola always gets some fantastic sort of prints and arts and books and models and all sorts of bits and pieces. So I'm really looking forward to see what we get on the table this year for that.
Fantastic stuff. Yeah, I mean, great causes. It's great to actually raise some money for a good cause. Rewriting.earth is the link, will be in the show notes, is the charity for this year. Fantastic stuff. So you mentioned the Conventions Association with the 77. That brings us to sort of artwork. They, as you say, help a lot with the design of the programme. They're always there at the convention themselves with their latest comics. We play this game on the podcast called the Grail Page Game, which I was explaining to you before we started recording, where we imagine we can play, you know, fantasy art purchases, that we could walk into David Roach's Best of Britain exhibition and make him an offer. Or last year's Steve Dillon exhibition, and
there was some good stuff there.
There was some very good stuff there, yes. Absolutely fantastic stuff to see. Let's start with the various artworks that have been produced for the convention over the years. Are there any that you own, and are there any that you would love to own?
I've got a Stephen Austin special. Nice. That was gifted to me, actually. It went to be auctioned off, and I think Paul Goodenough purchased it and then straight away gifted it to me, which was amazing. So that's framed and up on the wall in the house now, and it's a brilliant piece. It's one where he stands up and says, "I got better," and there's the Lawless, or there's Little Me convention organizer Sue beside him, which is really, really cool. So I think that's the only piece I've got, actually, like proper art, like A4. I haven't got any of the cover art or anything, like the original cover art or anything.
Is there one piece that you would love to have from that?
I do like Dan Cornwall's one from last year. That was really good with Old and New Lawless. And I'm a big fan of Liam Sharp's. When Liam came to us with his program in the space, I think he did it put it together in the space of a day as well. We were hashing out ideas about what we kind of, what poses we want and what he wanted Lawless to be doing and stuff like that. And then the time it took me and Steve to talk about what we wanted, Liam had already come back with the design, and we were like, okay, yep, we'll take it.
That'll do, yeah.
So that was amazing. But yeah, his piece was absolutely stunning.
And is that the, am I right, that's the cover for the programme for this year, is it?
It is, yeah.
So that'll be the cover artwork for this episode as well. So if your podcatcher shows cover artwork, have a look at that. So we'll give you that one then as a Grail page by Liam Sharp. Again, you know, probably out of our price range now that he's a superstar, but What about, we're going to turn to one of your favourites. We're going to get really expensive as well. Because, as you said, Tank Girl, I know, is your favourite comic and your favourite character. If there was a Jamie Howlett page or cover from Tank Girl, what would be the one you'd pick?
So Jamie Hewlett would be, so he did, it's sort of season or series two of Tank Girl back in 1993, issue one. The front covers for all four of those issues are quite hard to come by. And that one particularly, just because it's just batshit weird and crazy and typical Jamie Hewlett, I just really liked it. It's the doctor with his eye hanging out, standing over Tank Girl and with needles everywhere, and just it's just a weird piece of art, and I like it, and you don't see it very often, and I think that's why I like it, is because it's one of those ones that you don't see particularly often.
Yeah, it is an unusual one. Another gruesome one. Okay, the cover to Tank Girl 2 from Dark Horse, 1993, Jamie Hewlett. I will post that image on the socials when this episode comes out, along with Liam Sharp's cover for this year's Lawless programme, and people can see what we're talking about. And they become yours in the virtual Grail Page gallery now. Nobody else can pick those.
Oh, okay, cool.
Those are the rules. And one day when we win the lottery,
we'll find the original piece for
it. Find the original pieces and make them yours. Yeah, that's the way this works. So let's go back to the convention details. Saturday the 25th, Sunday the 26th of May, Doubletree Hilton in Bristol. The website that people can go to find tickets, Sue, where can people get tickets?
It's www.lawlesscomiccon.co.uk.
And if you just search for Lawless Comic Con or Lawless Convention, it comes up straight away.
Yeah,
well,
it should come straight up on a Google search. Yep, definitely.
And there's Saturday and Sunday tickets or weekend tickets. Are they all still available?
Yeah, so we've sold out of all the VIP tickets now, but we do have weekend tickets available and Saturday and Sunday day tickets available still as well. So they'll be available right up until about the Wednesday before the show. And I'll do a shout out and warning, and then we'll close down ticket sales because I'll need to print out the big long list of who's arriving. So there's no tickets available on the day. That's the other thing, is that it's only available online beforehand.
Well, I'm thoroughly looking forward to it as ever. I always have a great time at Lawless. I always end up buying some original art, usually from Dan Cornwall.
Yes.
I've got one of those watches that just buys things without me knowing. And,
cool. They get dangerous. They do quickly.
They do, don't they? Everybody's now got, of course, have got little tapping things so you can buy things off them. And yeah.
I think I'm fishing for either a Greg Staples or a Chris Weston special this year, because some of their art they've been posting up lately has been amazing. Yeah. And Greg Staples does a really good Tank Girl. So I'm, fishing for him, I think, this year.
Great stuff.
If I got time.
Get yourself a ticket. Get along to the Doubletree Hilton if you can, and go to Lawless. It is a fantastic convention. Like I say, it is just my, I always have a great time there, a great bunch of people, and it's right up there. As I say, I'm just being cautious of Paul Trimble and Enniskillen, because that's the other show across the water that's very much like Lawless, I think.
Yeah, I think they've definitely got the same family, haven't they? Definitely our sister convention.
Sue, that's been fantastic. Anything else you wanted to quickly mention or shout out about the convention before we wrap it up?
Get your ass to the show this year. It's our 10-year one. We're not doing it again. Well, we are doing it again, but we're not doing a 10-year one again. So, yeah, get your butts to the show this year.
It's a big one. Get there. Sue, thanks very much for giving me your time on literally the day, the 10-year anniversary of the very first one you did in Eddie's Club in Birmingham.
Yep, a long time ago.
It's come too quickly. An awful long time ago, yeah.
Gone too quickly.
Thank you very much, Sue.
Thanks ever so much for having me.
And thank you to everyone for listening to Mega City Book Club. As ever, find all of the links to the convention and to the charity at megacitybookclub.com. Follow the pod on Facebook, Instagram, Mastodon, Blue Sky, and the 2000 AD forums, where you'll see the two Grail pages that Sue has picked. And email me, mcbcpodcast@gmail.com, just like Stacey did, to say, could I talk to Sue about the convention? Well done, Stacey. So until next time, when we're passing judgment on another great book, it's goodbye from me and...
And goodbye from me. Bye.